This podcast is brought to you by Northern Motor Group.
Well, the Newcastle Herald's James Gardiner joins us now. James, thank you so much for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Firstly, we'll get to the big news. You broke it early this morning. The Jets' 20-year-old defender, Johnny Katrumbas, will take some time away from the game after devastatingly being diagnosed with cancer.
Yeah, I mean, shocking news to find out late last night that, young Johnny Katrumbas has stage one thyroid cancer. He had an operation on Monday to remove his thyroid. The early indications are that they've got it early and that he will receive treatment and things will be okay. But certainly in terms of his football career is on hold at least for the next month or two. And then, of course, it will determine on how much treatment he needs and how much ongoing support that's required. When you have your thyroid removed, it can affect your balance and your fitness and your diet and a number of things. So he will certainly need some medication once he gets the all clear. And it'll be a matter of time before, I guess, we know whether he'll be back playing in the A-League and certainly doing a job for the Newcastle Jets. He was certainly trained up until last Friday and appeared to be healthy, but he did detect a lump at the bottom of his throat a couple of weeks ago and mentioned it to the Newcastle Jets staff. And then being cautious, they sent him off for scans. And, of course, it came back with the tumour there. So fingers crossed, everything's okay. He's a lovely young kid and certainly a very handy young footballer. He played right fullback in the grand final. So fingers crossed that he'll be back sooner rather than later.
James, it's Nick here. And is there any immediate replacement you could see potentially starting in that right-back position heading in for match day one? Will we see Daniel Georgevski shift over to the right, maybe even a Nick Cowburn starting this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a couple of options. That's the beauty of the squad that Ernie Merrick has recruited. He's always very big on recruiting versatile players, and they've got quite a number of options there. They could use, as you mentioned, put Daniel Georgevski across to the right and play either Ivan Voica or Lockie Jackson, who are both natural left-sided players. Nick Cowburn could simply come in and play right fullback. He played the majority of his A-League games at right fullback. Or even they did train at one point last week with Lockie Jackson playing as a right fullback, even though he's naturally a left-sided player and has spent most of his time in the centre of defence. So they're a bit fortunate in that area. They've got a bit of depth there. If I was to take a punt, I would suggest that you might go with either Voica or Jackson and move Daniel Georgevski across to the right. Nick Cowburn now pretty much penciled in as a midfielder more so than a fullback, but he could certainly do a job. So and it's just a late disruption. I mean, they were gearing towards Johnny Katrubis playing right back up basically until last Friday, and since then, I guess things have been turned on their head.
And James, tell us about how the squad's shaping up this season. Obviously, some grand final heartbreak for the Jets, but still in a very good position to once again give themselves every opportunity to win the title this season. How's the squad shaped up? And has Ernie, do you believe, used that pre-season time effectively to get the best out of his squad?
Yeah, definitely. In terms of the pre-season, it's been one of the best in the club's history. A lot of people questioned the Jets in that they weren't very active in the transfer market, but they didn't really have to be. They retained 10 players from last year's grand final side. They have brought in four selected players, I guess you'd call that. They brought in Jair, a Brazilian who played in China last year. He arrived about a month ago and was pretty underdone and was a bit disappointed with his conditioning, but he's really got up to speed nice and quick. I expect him to start. He's not your typical Brazilian. He's not really a creative sort of flary type, luxury type player. He's more a go at play, run at defenders and get in the box, and he's got a rocket right foot on him. Matthew Rydenton is possibly the other big signing in terms of experience. He's obviously come across from the Wellington Phoenix, and he will start most likely in the absence of Ben Kantorowski on Saturday in midfield. And the other interesting one is Kane Sheppard, who they picked up from the Victorian Premier League club, Avondale. And he looks like a ready-made A-League player, to be honest. I've been really impressed with him. He looks comfortable, he looks confident, he makes good runs. And I guess the final piece of the puzzle was Mitch Austin, who they got from Melbourne Victory. He's coming back from a knee reconstruction, but already he's clocking something like 34, 35 kilometres an hour at Jets training on their GPS. So they've got a few different weapons there, different styles of players. So on that front, it's been very good. And the other big in is Ronnie Barks is back, fit, firing. He's had 12 weeks pre-season. And, geez, he looks ready to set the league alight. He's the one for mine that I think We saw a glimpse of what he could do in that opening three rounds last year. And then, of course, he had that horrible injury where he broke his ankle and dislocated his ankle and was out for 5 months. He made it back in time for the finals, but he had a pin in his ankle at the same time and just restricted and wasn't quite the same player. That pin's gone. He's been training for 12 weeks and he's red hot.
And speaking of red hot, how good has it been to retain the likes of Dimi Petratos?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there was a question mark leading into the finals midway through last season that Dimi might have gone in January. That didn't eventuate, and then everyone was thinking at the end of the season, oh, well, he's gone to a World Cup. Let's see if he picks up a club in Europe. But not only has he stayed here, but this is, he signed a 3-year extension only a week or so ago. So he's really... he's reveling under the way Ernie Merrick plays. So he's got a lot of freedom. He has got some responsibility. He's got a lot of freedom, and Ronnie Vargas and Roy O'Donovan combined last year, you'd like to think that there's brighter things to come. Of course, I still think he wants to go to Europe, and if the right deal came along, there's no doubt that that will eventuate. But, he's, in terms of Australia, he wants to stay in Newcastle. He's comfortable here. His wife's about to have their second baby in the next few months, so he's pretty settled.
And, James, we know that Roy O'Donovan and Joey Champness are going to miss significant parts of the season due to suspension and injury. Who could you see leading the line during that period of time? We know Jair isn't necessarily a natural number nine, but we've seen, as you said, Kane Sheppard is ready to go in the A-League. Would you see Ernie Merrick going with the import or potentially throwing a bit of a spanner in the works with Sheppard?
Yeah, potentially either of those two, or even Jason Hoffman. He's basically been reinvented in the last 6 months. He started out as a striker in his teenage years and played for the Young Socceroos as a striker, but was pretty much shifted to a right back when he was at Melbourne City and played the majority of his near 200 games at right back. But he scored 6 goals last year, pushed forward more in a wing role. But he's been starting certainly at the point. And the way Ernie Merrick plays with his front three, they play fairly narrow. They don't play as general wide players. They don't tug the sideline as such, but he encourages them to come inside and to rotate. And I think you'll find a mix of those three. Dimi Petratos will definitely start on the right. Ronnie Vargas will definitely be the number 10. I think initially he'll go with Jair and Jason Hoffman as the other two, and they'll just switch and move and rotate and play pretty narrow. And I think that's the way he's going to try and pull defences out by not really restricting guys in the areas they can move in. He wants them to be unpredictable, for want of a better word, and to pull the defence, I guess, apart and not make it easy for the holders as well.
And, James, what can we expect from Ernie Merrick in this week's intriguing opener against Wellington Phoenix?
Yeah, he's pretty confident, to be honest with you. He likes to, in the past, he's liked to keep things generally close to his chest and not be too negative or not be too positive. But, outside of the Johnny Katrumbas late setback, I mean, things have gone to plan. They've got virtually a fully fit squad. They've had good pre-season. They went to China initially and then they went to Spain. They had a good win against Western Sydney Wanderers a fortnight ago, 4-0, and they looked like they scored 6 goals. So things have pretty much ticked along as he's wanted. So he'll go over there confident. He'll go over there looking to attack. He won't try and get a draw. They'll play that entertaining front foot football. They'll probably be exposed a little bit at the back at times. They will take some risks, but they've got some speed in those fullback areas and some experience in Nigel Bugard and Nikolai Topol-Stanley to try to cut off any counter-attack that we might see from the Wellington Phoenix. So they'll be definitely going there for a win, and we'll be disappointed if they don't get one.
And, James, I mean, the whole league has really strengthened this season. Where do you see the Jets finishing?
Oh, if they play like they played against the Wanderers the other day, I can't see how they won't finish in the top four. I think it will hinge on this opening period when Roy O'Donovan is suspended for the opening 8 rounds and Joe Champness is coming back from injury. Where are the other goals going to come from? In the first 6 weeks, they've got 4 away games and the 2 home games are against Melbourne Victory and Sydney. So that first period is really important. If they can get off to a decent start, continue to score goals, and then you have Roy O'Donovan coming back in December and then Joe Champness in January, and they'll look to buy a player in the transfer window, then they can kick on. So for mine, I think the first 6 to 8 weeks will tell a picture. If they get through it fairly unscathed, well, then they're set up for another very, very strong finish.
And James, this weekend, they do travel across the ditch to play Wellington, a team who is tipped to finish down towards the bottom end of the table. But it can be a bit of a banana skin on the road. How do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, well, it's been a real banana skin one for the Jets in the past. I think prior to last year, they had a horrendous record over there. There in Perth were their two bogey teams in terms of the away trips. But I think there'll be goals. There's no doubt about that. I think the Jets will certainly stretch them defensively. I haven't had a great look at Bonnington Phoenix. I know they've bought a couple of new Spanish players in the last week. And, of course, they've got Roy Krishna and David Williams. And they've got plenty of pace up front. I think it'll be pretty open. But I'd like to think if the Jets can convert some of their chances, I think they might get away with that one. And I think you'll see Wellington improve as they go along, but they're brought in quite a few players from the state league, so it's going to take them time to adjust. Some new Spanish players, I think they will certainly take a month or so, you would think, to gel and really get firing into Mark Rudan. So it's probably a good time for the Jets to get them over there, that's for sure.
Well, James, the 14th edition of the A-League gets underway this Friday. Thank you so much for coming on the show to discuss the Newcastle Jets.
Anytime, guys.